Okay, hello everyone and welcome to Pete and Colin's Malifaux Podcast, a podcast about Malifaux with your hosts, Peter Minard.
Hello.
And me, Colin Woodward. So first things first, Happy New Year to everyone out there. Happy New Year to you, Pete.
Thank you.
Tell us, what have you been up to in the hobby recently? And have you got any New Year's gaming resolutions?
Yeah, I do in fact have a couple of things I want to do this year. To start off with, I would quite like to get to some more events this year. I think I did about three last year. They were very good fun. And so I'd like to try and get to a few more of them, meet some more of the wonderful community that's out there. And also, I need to get some stuff actually painted.
Oh, Pete, actually painting.
Yeah. If I can finish a model this year, that would be an improvement, to be honest. That's how bad it is. So yeah, I want to get some stuff done. I was actually painting Kojo earlier. That's my aim for this year. What about yourself?
For me, I would like quite the same. I'd like to get some more events as well. I managed to get to one this weekend, which was run by David Brown at Battlefield Hobbies in Daventry, called Troubleshooters 2. And I managed a respectable 19th. I think that's respectable. It's somewhere in the middle, at least.
Well, yeah, it's not bad, is it?
And the whole event was won by Tim Britton, who was playing Guild. And I think he was playing Nelly. I'm not 100% certain on that, though. As far as Milton Keynes players went, Matt Slynn managed to come third for the event, and best Neverborn with Lilith. Owen Pauling managed 10th with Ironsides. Andy Gray, 14th with Seamus. And Peter Slynn managed to win the Wooden Spoon in 32nd, but also took the best in faction for 10 Thunders.
Which is pretty awesome. To be fair, I've seen some of those wooden spoons, and I think I would rather lose and get one of them than come in the middle, to be fair, you did.
Yeah, I was in the middle. Awesome. I did okay, and I didn't even win anything in the raffle, but it was a good day, and it was a great buffet lunch, including some very strange sausages and bread sort of thing.
So hot dogs.
Close. It was more like a thing of bread that someone had hollowed out and then put lots of mini sausages inside the bread.
Okay.
Exactly. It was.
Yeah, that does sound weird. Weird. Do you get it? Hey.
Oh.
No. That's
anyway,
not weird.
Yeah. So aside from making it to events, I'm also looking forward to trying to finish the Resurrectionist faction. I need a few more models. I'd like to get some more painted up. And that's about it. So on to the next subject. Okay, so Pete, tell us, what is Malifaux?
Oh, good question, Colin. I'm pleased you asked. Malifaux is a skirmish miniatures game. It's in a very nice, cool, unique setting. It's sort of a steampunk, a little bit Wild Westy, a little bit Victorian kind of.
It's got a bit of everything, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, bit of Gribbly monsters in there, if you like that sort of thing. And it's dark, but it's got a sort of an element of humour to it as well, which is quite nice.
Yes, anyone that's ever played Gremlins will know that, but we'll move on to that later.
What's particularly interesting about it is rather than rolling dice like a lot of games, you use a deck of cards. They call it a fate deck in the game. So every action you do, you'll be flipping cards and comparing to your opposing players and so on. And it's also very objective-driven, this game, which is nice. I've actually had games where I've lost everything on the board and still won because I managed to complete my objectives.
And likewise, I've played crews where I just kill the opposing crew and then finish the objectives when everyone's dead.
Yeah, it doesn't always work though, does it?
No, but the best thing about the game is there are many, many ways of finishing what you need to do. And it's not just like your typical war game. And it's hooked the both of us.
I find that very refreshing and very... it's a very, very unique selling point, I think, of Malifaux. And I very much enjoy that. There are no bad models in a sense because every model has a little niche it can fill somewhere.
Exactly. And there's a lot of depth to the game. You can spend a lot of time on it. It's very, very, very compelling.
Okay, Colin, what do you need to play Malifaux?
Okay, another very, very good question there, Pete. So obviously you're going to need some models, and that's something we're going to come on to very soon. But to start with, you're going to need somewhere to play Malifaux, and Malifaux is best played, is always played, on a 3-foot by 3-foot gaming board.
Yeah, and don't forget about terrain in this game. We need considerably more than you would normally use in other miniatures games.
That is a good point. They do recommend about a third of the board is covered in terrain, and this could be all sorts of things from, you know, Wild West themed buildings or swamplands, marshes, rivers, bridges, rubble, anything that you can think of.
But a nice variety is always good.
Yes.
Yeah.
all the terrain has different rules within the game, so a good selection is always going to make things better for you. If you don't have this, then your local gaming store probably has loads of it, so you can always go there and play games and support those. To actually play the game is a miniatures game, so you're going to need to move your models around, and to do that you're going to need a tape measure. That's the best way of doing things. As we said earlier, it's played with a deck of cards instead of dice. So leave your dice at home and get hold of a deck of cards. A regular playing card deck will do, but they do make some very, very nice fate decks for this game, which have got great artwork on them.
Yeah, very cool. I may have three different fate decks now. They're slightly collectible almost, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Great presents for people that you know that play the game as well.
Yeah.
And aside from that, I mean, a copy of the mini rule book is a really good thing to have as well, but realistically, yeah, that is about all you need. You don't need masses of paraphernalia to play the game. However, as we said earlier, you are going to need a crew, and we're going to get onto that now. Okay then, so Pete, tell us, what is a crew?
Right, well, a crew will be your collection of models that you'll play with. Normally what you do is you declare your faction before the game, then you flip for your schemes and your strategies, and then you can choose the models that you want to use according to what those schemes and strategies are, and then play the game, which is quite nice because most games, you know, you build your army, then find out what your objectives are, so you can kind of tailor your list every game to work for what you want to play. You will have a master or a henchman to lead your crew. They won't count towards the point cost, or in this game it's soulstones, isn't it?
It is soulstones, yeah. So you might be used in other games to things like points or a fixed roster or something like that. But it's obviously, it's just to balance the game out, so yeah, each side's got the same sort of value of models.
Yeah, and then, like I say, you can hire the rest of your crew up to the agreed points cost. It'll have things like minions, enforcers, peons. We could perhaps go into a bit more depth on what they are later on, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, sure thing.
But for now, that's, you know, the rest of your crew is, yeah, just the models that you're using. And then once you've got that all, you can then deploy and play the game.
Yeah, and I think that crew choice is a really, really important part of the game. And it's what makes some of Malifaux great, is that because you're doing these objectives and you know what's going on there first, if there's a lot of killing objectives, you're going to take certain models. And if there's a lot, yeah, of running around the board, you're going to need different models. So it means that no two games are the same. We've played hundreds of games against each other and they're always completely different.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you can even take sort of this a similar crew for three or four games, and because of how the schemes and strategies work, in one game your MVP might be a great big burly fella that goes and punches everyone and murders everything. You think this is brilliant. Next game, he might actually not actually score you any points because you don't need to do that. And so he just sits there and doesn't achieve a lot. And a little 4-point model might end up flying across the board, dropping a load of markers and win you the game.
Yeah. And, so, and that's some key, yeah, points that we'll go into when we talk about actually playing the game.
Right, well, one good way, I suppose, of getting into the game of Malifaux would be to pick up the 2-player starter box set that they do. That's what we did. And I think I'll let you elaborate on this more because you were the one that bought it. And
okay, sure, Pete. Yeah, no, I noticed it in the shop and I spoke to our henchman who recommended it to me. And I was really glad when they brought it out because I'd seen the models. I really, really liked the models and I wanted to play the game, but I had no idea where to start. And that kind of probably leads on to why we're recording this today. Hopefully people might listen to this and not have the same problems that we did.
Yeah.
So we picked up this starter box. It's about £45, I think, in the UK, about £45, probably different wherever you are. And inside that box, you get everything that two players need to play a game of Malifaux. So you're going to get two crews of 4 models apiece. And this is a guild crew and a Neverborn crew. Yep. You get 2 tape measures, 2 fate decks, and you get a set of quick start rules, which are actually really, really well explained. And they take you through a number of scenarios from having one model apiece all the way up to having 4 models, and they slowly introduce the concepts of the game. So things like flipping cards for duels and different tactical abilities, and then moving on to schemes, strategies, and actually scoring the points of the game. I picked this up and we spent an evening playing through the whole thing, and by the end of it I think both of us were hooked. I picked up 2 crews straight away.
Yeah, and I went off and picked up the Rasputina box as well myself.
Yep, straight away.
After playing it, I was hooked.
I don't think we've ever stopped playing since then. So
no.
Yeah, Starter Box is a great way of getting into the game. Okay, so you've got your Starter Box, you've played through all of the scenarios, you're comfortable with how the models play, and you're looking to expand. Where would we go from here?
Right, well, from there, the obvious things would be you'd pick up a copy of the rulebook. You can get the mini one. I think it's about £10-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's about a tenner.
So yeah, grab that. That'll have everything you'd really need rules-wise in it. I think it has all the schemes and stuff. That, mind you, Gaining Grounds is quite popular now, so if you're looking at going to tournaments, probably go online and download those.
Yeah, if you go to the weird...
It's free to print off a sheet of that, isn't it?
So. Yeah, you go to the weird website, and under the organised play formats, you can download everything that Weird have produced and suggested for use in their tournament play. And don't let the words tournament play put you off if you're just playing friendly games. I think the schemes and strategies in these packs are far superior to the original ones.
Yeah, they seem a bit more more balanced. There's a couple in the main rulebook that are very kind of hit and miss.
I think so, yes. But if you're just getting started, don't get bogged down with things like that. Just if you're looking for different things, just know there's other options.
It's something to be aware of, I suppose. You don't want to rock up to a tournament and suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, I've not seen any of these before.
Yeah.
That way at least you... Also, tournaments are cool. Go to a tournament if you want early on. I mean, we did. I think we'd played about 3-4 games and we did our first tournament.
We did. I think it's very important to say as well that Malifaux tournaments are very, very different to other organised gaming tournaments.
Yeah, the communities are very open, very nice.
There's a lot of fight for the last place where you get a very nice wooden spoon. And normally prizes are for the first few people, but then there's a big raffle and there's normally a lunch involved and everyone's kind of a bit more friendly and chatty. And it's all about just playing games and enjoying the hobby. It's not really about the winning and losing, which is very nice compared to some other organised formats.
Yeah, definitely. We have gone on a slight tangent there, but
let's bring it back around.
Getting back onto the subject. You got your rule book. Generalist upgrade pack is quite a useful thing. That's relevant for any faction that you might pick.
And these are upgrades you can use within the game, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So you on your models cards, certain models can be given upgrades. That's all in the rule book, isn't it? We don't need to go into too much detail, I don't think, on here.
So.
And then, you need to choose yourself a faction and get yourself a crew box, which I think is what we'll go into momentarily.
Okay then, Pete, it's time to go to work now. We are going to try and work through all the factions that are available to you in Malifaux and talk about each one and give some suggestions. The idea of this is if you are new to the game and you are listening to this, it will help you pick a faction to start with and give you some good pointers into some possible masters that are a good start to the game that aren't super complicated.
All right, so let's jump in with Arcanists.
I'm going to leave Pete to do this one because he's played Arcanists for a while now.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So who are the Arcanists and what do they do? They're the anti-guild almost in a way. They're sort of the rebels and the misfits.
They're kind of like the magic users. So in the Malifaux universe, magic is kind of... Even though soul stones are mined because they enable you to use magic, the use of unsanctioned magic goes against everything that the guild stand for. It's not allowed. And the guild are kind of like the police of the Malifaux world. So the Arcanists are kind of rebel magicians that have snuck away, I think, is the best way.
Yeah. And so they have... Like I say, if you like magic, they have a lot of the magic using. They also have a lot of constructs because they have the Miners and Steamfitters Union, a part of them, who basically they're the ones that go off and mine all the soul stones for the guild, and the union try and sort of look after the miners and make sure they're all okay. And they have quite a bit of power because obviously soul stones is what the whole game is about. So they have a bit of influence, a bit of sway.
So magicians and terrifying robots.
Oh, and there's also beasts in the faction as well, just to make it even more complicated and mixed up. And
I think the Arcanists kind of have...
They have a little bit of everything, but they're predominantly, their playstyle seems to be having a lot of armoured stuff, because robots are armoured. And schemes. They're very good at throwing scheme markers all over the place, which is very useful in this game because a lot of things require you to have markers in different places to score your points.
Yeah, I do find that a lot of Arcanist crews, you can tailor to whatever you need to do. They're not one-trick ponies. They have a lot of access to all sorts of different things.
Right,
so if we were to go into it, there's a number of crews available. What would you suggest for somebody that's quite new to the game, Pete?
I think actually my first choice, and I think it was a very good choice, was Rasputina would be my first port of call here. She's an ice witch, so she blasts things with ice. Her crew consists of ice gamin and an ice golem. They're all kind of fairly slow moving, but she can cast her spells through the other models in the crew and blast things to death. So if you like the idea of slowly moving forwards and blowing things up, that's what she specializes in. If you have the starter set, I would kind of recommend picking up Grimwell and or Heartsbane, I think it is. There's Heartsbane, because they can help with the mobility of the crew, because that's the one thing they lack. So that's sort of a nice way to start off with, and then you can branch out from there into other things. The other crew I would recommend would be the Rammus, the M&S U-Box. Because this comes with Howard Langston, your best friend, Colin.
Howard Langston is probably one of the most one of the models in the game that has a massive reputation. He has a huge minimum damage of 4 and is nimble, and he's this horrible spider construct, man, centaur, robot, cyborg machine of death that just kind of, if you don't deal with him, he will kill every single member of your crew. He's got a great reputation and definitely deserves it.
Yeah, rightly feared.
Yes,
he's a lovable rogue. He is. Gotta love Howard Langston. But yeah, that crew's quite a nice one because the models within there are found in a lot of other Arcanist crews. They quite often like stealing bits out of that crew for themselves. It does a few different things. Rammus is a summoner, so he can summon spiders out of scrap markers, little mechanical spiders. You may have to, shortly after buying this, you might find that you want to buy another box of mechanical spiders, just so you can really summon things and flood the board with them. That's kind of his thing. He just drowns you in small models and then has a couple of big hitters munch you into little pieces.
Sounds good. So obviously those two boxes are great if you're starting the game. Now, for somebody who's new, who doesn't have a full grip on all of the rules and the nuances of the game, there are going to be some crews that are not recommended to pick up. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about things that we wouldn't recommend a beginner to start with. However, if you love the models and you really want to get in there, there's no reason to not, is there, Pete?
Yeah, there's no wrong choice. There's no bad choice in this game. It just, you're going to have a bit of a steeper learning curve to start with if you pick some of the masters out there than others. For Arcanists, I would say when you're starting out, Colette can be very confusing. She was my second master, actually, and I've probably only played about 2 or 3 games with her because I played against Colin early on and went, oh my word, my head is exploding. I don't understand what's going on. Because her thing is she can make other models do more things for her. She's a performer.
She's like a force multiplier. That, you know, if your models are good, then she makes them better.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So you need to know what your things do in order to get her to work to her full potential, but she's fantastic. I think she's one of the better masters out there. Once you start getting into the game, it's just initially it's a little bit too much, I think, to get her. Although her crew looks gorgeous, so I wouldn't blame anyone for picking that up to start with. They're all dancing girls, which is, it's very cool. It's very different.
That's what you get into the game for, really, isn't it? You know, the chicks.
Oh, definitely.
And we've got an honourable mention in Arcanist as well of something that's a little bit different, and that is Marcus with the Claw and Fang box. Now, Pete, you own Marcus and have played him, so...
I love Marcus. Marcus is brilliant. But I think he's worth a mention because he's kind of a faction unto himself. If you pick up Marcus, you can quite happily play the game and never touch most of the Arcanist faction, to be honest. His gimmick is beasts. And he can hire beasts from any faction. So you can end up with elements of Rezzers and Neverborn and all sorts going on. If you like, your dogs and tigers and fish men.
And cobras and...
Yeah. He's awesome. He's, like I say, he's kind of honourable mention because he's sort of a faction unto himself.
So basically, if you want to be a strange, magical zookeeper with a horrendous, monstrous menagerie,
yeah,
then Marcus is your
Marcus,
man.
Marcus is the man for you, yeah.
Great.
Right, next on our list, I think we have Guild, which I'll pass over to Colin because he started with Guild.
That is, yes, I did. So after buying the starter box, I picked between the two factions that were in there and I really liked the look of the Guild models. So I went and bought those. Now, Guild are, as we said, they're like the police of Malifaux, kind of. They're a law force. They're not necessarily very lawful, though. They want to keep the peace and they will do anything needs to get it done.
It's sort of a bit of a dictatorship almost. Like
only a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little RoboCop. Not quite, but
yeah.
If you imagine sort of a Wild West Judge Dredd.
I mean, I'm biased because I'm an Arcanist, so in my mind they're the big evil.
Yeah, and I'm biased because Pete's an Arcanist and we like to kill Arcanists. However, Guild kind of favour a ranged gameplay, so if you like shooting and reliable, powerful models, then Guild are probably for you. They do have some weaknesses in the scheme running department, but what I've found is normally most of your opponents are dead by turn three, and you can finish those schemes on turn four and five anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Guild, one thing that they do have going for them is definitely that reliability. You know what you're getting when you hire a Guild model. It's sort of, this model will shoot stuff, stuff will die, or this model will hit a thing with a sword and things will die. They're very...
They're on
very solid, and they're fairly tough. You know, they're not really sort of paper at all, are they? They're fairly just solid all round.
No, yeah, they're just good solid all rounders. If anyone's ever played Warhammer before, they're probably like the Space Marines. Do you know what I mean? They're sort of
the solid faction.
Exactly. So as far as crews to get into, if you are a beginner player, the first one I would recommend would be the Ortega crew, which is the Latigo Posse box, and this is kind of like a Wild West outlaw crew of bandits, and they're all from the same family. They're from the Ortega family, led by Perdita. And this crew are a very ranged focus crew, very shooty, and they have a lot of synergy between each other because they're all family members. They can look out for each other and help each other out. And Perdita is probably one of the best shooting models in the whole game.
Yeah, she's amazing. I've been on the receiving end of Perdita a few times and she's a headache.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, as far as the crew plays, it is quite simple in that they have a couple of movement tricks, but nothing crazy to remember. But very, very solid, very good models. Models that transfer to other guild crews as well. So things like Francisco and Papa Loco, who's a great dynamite-obsessed madman.
And best model in the crew, in my opinion.
He is very good. You have to watch out there. He does explode. But these will transfer to other guild crews, so it's always a good one to pick up. And a second crew you could pick up if you are beginning and wanting to start with guild is the Sonya Creed crew, which is the Torch and Blade box. Sonya Creed is a kind of fire-obsessed magic user who flings fire all over the place. And as we said earlier, I think the theme is set things on fire and then set things on more fire.
Yeah, set things on fire and then burn them more and blow them up and set other things on fire with the things that were on fire. And fire. Do you like fire? You're like Sonya.
Fire everywhere. Sonya also has the ability to summon Witchling Stalkers when things die, when they're on fire, which is very convenient because you get three Witchling Stalkers in the box with her. You may want a couple of extra models, but then you normally do for most starter boxes. But she's quite a straightforward master and quite easy to remember how to play.
It's possibly also worth mentioning that as she's a witch hunter and the models you get in the starter set are witch hunters, there's, I think, a little bit of synergy there. Not a lot, but I think there's some.
I'm not entirely sure on that.
It's thematically it fits, at least.
It does fit thematically.
That's got to be worth something.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a lot of good fun to play, especially because you can blow things up round corners and through buildings that you can't see as long as they're on fire.
I don't like that.
I think she just has infrared vision.
Not fun. Not pleasant to be opposing that, but
exactly. Now there's very few complicated guild crews, but one that does exist is probably the Lucius crew, which is bound by law. And I've always found this a problem because the models are fantastic, and it leads a lot of people to pick this one up as a first crew. Lucius is slightly like Colette in that he's quite of a force multiplier as well. He buffs other things. He makes other models take extra actions. But he is not simple by any means to play. There are a lot of little tricks that can make him happen and make the other things happen in the crew. It doesn't help that he's been widely regarded as quite a weak master within the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he has been buffed recently. But things with him is if you don't do it quite right, you can end up paralyzing your own crew and stopping yourself doing things if you get it wrong. So it's very punishing if you mess up as well.
Yeah, it's definitely something to try and break as you get a greater handle on the rules. And we have an honorable mention of Hoffman's crew, which is of metal and flesh, which technically is a guild crew, but kind of almost feels Arcanist-wise.
Yeah, the thing with Hoffman is if you like robots, you'll like Hoffman. He's a guild model, but he can hire MNSU constructs, which, funnily enough, is pretty much everything you can get in the Rammus box. So if you're unsure, maybe grab Rammus, try Hoffman. You know, you'll find there's normally a one or two sort of masters that cross over factions without you realizing on first looking
at
the boxes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the reason that I wouldn't kind of recommend Hoffman to a beginner is that he has some quite convoluted mechanics where he creates power loops through all of his constructs, and that requires you to kind of set this up at the start of the turn and have things in the right positions. So if you have things in the wrong position, then the whole crew kind of starts to lose effectiveness.
Yeah, you're basically trying to build a machine with him, and if you put one element in the wrong place, the whole thing kind of doesn't work as well as it should. But he's cool.
Exactly. So we're going to move on now, and we are going to deal with probably the most characterful faction in the game, at least the most fun, I think, which is the Gremlin faction.
Best faction ever.
As you can tell, Pete is playing Gremlins at the moment.
Yeah, I flip between Gremlins and Arcanists, depending on how I'm feeling. But Gremlins are fantastic. If you like hurting yourself and taking ridiculous risks, and you like whiskey, Gremlins are for you. Oh, and pigs. Don't forget the pigs. Yeah, Gremlins have it all. They're predominantly a shooting faction, but they do have melee elements to them. Their main thing is hurting themselves to do more. They have an ability called Reckless that lets them get injured to take more actions. They also tend to have ridiculous drawbacks on certain models, and it's all about trying to work out how to get the most out of the models without them backfiring on you. They're very fun and very silly, but they are still competitive. They're not a joke faction by any means.
It's like running around holding a stick of dynamite. You know it's going to go off, and you hope it goes off in your opponent's face, but it could go off in yours.
Yeah, yeah. When things go well, they go spectacularly well. When things go wrong, it can be a mess.
Indeed. So as we've just sold them up so fantastically, everyone's going to want to start with Gremlins. So if you're a beginner to Malifaux, where do we go from Gremlins?
Right, there's actually quite a few nice choices in Gremlins, but the two that I decided we would go for would be the Summer Teeth Jones box set, the Bayou Boss. It's a very well-rounded crew box. It can cover pretty much anything, and you can kind of, from there, you can branch out in different directions. So if you want to get some pigs work with him. If you want to get more Gremlin things, Gremlins work with him. He has summoning as a thing he can do if you want to do that, but you don't have to. You can build kind of elite with him, but yeah, he's a guy with a big hat, therefore he's the boss. And he has a big blowy, blasty gun. He comes with a bunch of Bayou Gremlins who are kind of expendable. They can near enough kill themselves to take an extra action. And very, very, very silly, but very fun, very synergistic stuff in there.
He does have an ability based around his hat, correct?
Yes, he does. Yeah, bigger hat than you, which I think is fantastic. basically, he looks at the opponent's master and goes, "My hat's bigger than yours," and then you both discard your hand.
So in a game based around cards, having no cards is sometimes where you want to go.
It works for him, though, because Gremlins, all the models in his crew, I think other than maybe Lenny, I can't remember off the top of my head, have an ability called Dirty Cheater, which lets them cheat from the top of the fate deck. So, I mean, this won't mean anything to you now, having heard this, but basically they can cheat when they shouldn't, and they're very silly.
Brilliant stuff. So we've got Summer Teeth Jones. Is there any other crews that you'd start with?
Ophelia is another one I would recommend, because the models you get in there are quite relevant to pretty much any Gremlin crew you look at getting, particularly Francois. He's one that you often see taken. He's kind of a cruise missile. You aim at something, you charge in there, hope you get the trigger on the ram to double your damage. He then takes half of that himself, but you just destroyed their best model, like Howard Langston or something, and Happy days.
Yeah, so the thing to be said is the Ophelia crew is almost a parody of the Ortega crew from Guild that we just spoke about.
Yes, it is very much. That is the lore behind it. I think it was she stole Perdita's hat or something, the master. I'm not entirely sure, but because of that, now she's in charge.
See, now, I don't believe this because my Perdita definitely still has a hat.
It's another hat. She had a new one made.
She had a new hat.
Yeah. But I think it's not the proper hat. That's why Ophelia is amazing.
I think you should get the Ophelia crew and we should play Ortega's versus the kin.
I'm fine with that. I will thrash you.
Fantastic. We need to work out the rightful owner of the hat. So Summer Teeth Jones and Ophelia, if you want to start. So if you're not, if you want gremlins, but you are a new player and you don't want to be too confused, who should we stay away from?
I would say if you want to get into gremlins, the first one to stay away from would be Zoraida. The reason for this is twofold. Firstly, again, like a lot of the others, she's kind of a force multiplier. But also, more than that, she doesn't come with any actual gremlin models in her crew box. So if you want to go into gremlins, you're going to be stuck with a Neverborn crew to start with and then have to invest quite heavily into other things. And I did this because I wanted the Silurids for Marcus because they're beasts. But then it means that you've then got to try and buy more crew boxes and more models, and it gets quite expensive quite quickly.
Yeah, she is dual faction, Neverborn and Gremlins. So she's probably someone that's good to look at as you mature in the game and you want a different challenge.
I mean, she's very fun, but it's just the if you want to get into Gremlins, she's not the best way in because she's kind of a Neverborn-themed crew box to start with. But yeah, all good. I think from there we're going to head over back to Colin and do Rezzers, which is your current faction.
It is, yes. So the Resurrectionists are the undead faction in the game, and every game has to have an undead faction, clearly. And I think it was always fate I was going to end up with this. I've played undead in pretty much every war game I've ever played, and I tried to resist by playing Guild, and I ended up still playing Rezzers.
Lo and behold, he's in Rezzers.
Exactly. Well, you know. And their faction revolves around summoning hordes of monsters and zombies and things like that. They tend to be slightly slower than other factions and a bit more ponderous, but you make up for that by controlling activations, by having more models than your opponent and having things be easily replaceable. You make good use of corpse markers as well, so you can do some things that other factions don't get to do. If you like the idea of blowing up a corpse marker and turning it into a mindless zombie and then exploding it again to deal loads of damage to other people, or just summoning hordes of undead, then this is probably the faction for you.
Yeah, they're very much a summoning kind of faction, aren't they? A sort of war of attrition, I think, is how you'd describe them.
Very much. Routinely, I am losing turn two, and we turn it around by turn three or four.
Yeah, the standard Colin thing of, oh, it's all gone wrong, all these things are dying, it's all gone wrong, and then he wins at the end of the game because he ends up with more models somehow.
That is normally what happens, yeah. However, so if you wanted to start with Resurrectionists, there's a couple of crew boxes that are great to go for, and the first one we were talking about earlier is Seamus, the Shadows Over Red Chapel box. Now, Seamus is kind of based on, it's almost Jack the Ripper, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely got that feel to him, hasn't he? Jack the Ripper. Kind of Mad Hatter as well, thrown in as well.
Yeah, if you imagine a very, very crazy Jack the Ripper, if it was even possible. So he has got, in his crew box, he comes with himself, he's got a henchman, Madame Sybil, who's fantastic, and three Rotten Bells. And Rotten Bells are kind of like, I guess they're like dead hookers?
Yeah, I think zombie hookers pretty much sums up what they are.
Seamus has got a thing for zombie hookers, and that is his whole shtick. And the Bells are one of the best models in the whole game, I think. They can kind of lure models and drag them towards them, so you can ruin your opponent's positioning.
Yeah, because for some reason, everything in Malifaux appears to be attracted to undead women. I don't know why this is.
Well, we did say earlier, that's the reason you get into the game, is for the chicks.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking more of the living chicks, but whatever.
Chicks are still chicks, clearly. The Seamus crew is quite simple because Seamus doesn't really summon much. He can summon bells, but he's more about hiding behind dark corners, popping out, killing something, and then running away. And that's quite a fun sort of play style.
Yeah. Also, the nice thing about him is, unlike a lot of the other Rezzers, you don't need to, like, own half the faction to summon in. He can only summon, I think, the bells, can't he?
So. Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, that leads us on to our next box that I would recommend a beginner to get, which is the McMorning box, the Body of Evidence box. And the same reason is that you do not need to own a million other models to play this guy. McMorning is kind of like, he's dual faction guild and resurrectionist. He works as the Surgeon General for the guild during the day, but by night he is a resurrectionist and he is doing horrible surgical experiments and building zombie dogs and flesh constructs and other horrible things.
All that good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Nice and wholesome. So, yeah, McMorning's great. The crew is playable by itself. You can always use more models for resurrectionists. However, as we've just said, there are several masters within the game, especially within resurrectionists, that summon as a primary part of their gameplay. And this means that you're going to need masses and masses of other models to really get the most out of them. And I think the one that I found the toughest to get started with was Kirai, which is the Vengeful Spirit box. And Kirai summons spirits, and all the spirits she summons are not in the box with her. So apart from two on Rio, which are useful, but really to get the most out of her, you're going to need to buy a lot of other models. And this is someone that I got into after owning a lot more models within Rezzers.
Yeah, and I mean, you're still trying to work her out now, aren't you? She's not, you know, the simplest of masters either, I don't think.
Oh, she's definitely not easy to play. There are, from coming down to what you need to summon compared to which abilities you need to use over each turn with her to get the objectives done, it's a tough thing to do, yeah. And I think a notable mention we were going to make was Nicodem, the Open Graves box. He is not a complicated master. He's quite simple to play, but he is a summoner and he can summon everything. So yeah. The only problem with him is that you really need to have all the models.
But if you really like the look of all the models, he's a great choice because...
Play with everything.
Yeah, whatever you want to get, you can pick it up and you know that he can make it appear in the game. So
he gets to play with all of the toys.
It's kind of his flaw, but also his strength. If you have the money and you want to splurge, go for it.
So all of the models and zombie hookers, that's Resurrectionist. Sounds pretty good. Next faction we're going to talk about is the Outcasts, which... we're now moving on to the factions that neither of us really have a lot of experience with outside of playing against them now and then. So we're going to do our best in true internet fashion and just make things up and take a stab at this.
Yeah. So next up we have Outcasts. They're sort of like the, I'd say the mercenary faction, but there are mercenaries in everything. They're sort of the oddballs, the sort of hired guns, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, very much sort of the ones that don't fit anywhere else, I suppose, is what the Outcasts are.
Yeah,
they don't have a particular theme to them. Do they? All the masters are very different.
I think the theme is brown. Whenever I think of Outcasts, I think kind of, you know, like dirty leather and like, you know, like a bit Mad Max when you kind of live in that.
Yeah, I suppose.
In that sort of vibe.
So the crews we recommended for this one were Von Schill, because he's one of these masters. He doesn't do anything badly. I mean, he's not, you know, the best at anything, but he has no real weakness either, which is kind of his strength almost. So he's a nice one to start with because he can do anything. Plus, he can take his shirt off.
Well, who wants to do? Who doesn't want to be
that? And that scares the hell out of everyone.
Yeah, you run into a bar fight, rip your shirt off, and start smashing people in the face.
Yeah.
His crew is, I think, they're quite a good crew for a beginner as well, because the Freikorps have a suit that they all wear and it protects them from pulse and blast effects. So gives you a little bit more resilience to those bad positioning mistakes, or kind of if you accidentally place somewhere, then you're not going to get really punished for it.
Yeah, you're not going to sort of go beat up someone with black blood and accidentally murder your friend who stood next to them and things like this. It's sort of a little bit more forgiving, I suppose, in that way.
Yeah.
Plus, another nice thing about them is they're all mercenaries. So if you pick them up and think, you know what, I actually really like the look of one of the other factions, the models in there are still useful to you. So you're not sort of tied into Outcasts if you pick them up.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. Do we have any others in Outcasts that are probably a good simple box?
The other one we thought was the Vix. You probably know more about these than I do, to be fair. You've played against them a few times.
I have nightmares about these. If you want a crew that are just built to kill, like a proper glass cannon, these are the ones for you.
Very much kind of a blender. They all run in with swords and...
Well, it's like a turbo blender in that it just You think you're safe, and then suddenly you're in the middle of it, and you've turned into a smoothie. So the Vics are quite unique in that their master, I think is the Vic of Ashes, gets a free henchman, a zero-cost henchman. So it's like having two really strong people. They're two sisters, the Vic of Ashes, the Vic of Blood. And you get both of them, and they have abilities that complement each other, but they are melee masters. So you're going to struggle against things that shoot you, but if you can get into combat, you will kill the thing you're in combat with.
Yep, it will die many, many lots times over.
And that's not even a you might kill. I mean, no, they will be dead.
Yeah, they are a blender.
And they're a super blender. And the box comes with everything else that you're going to need as well. In fact, I have a regular opponent who has got the Vix box, and he bought Vanessa, which is another henchman in the faction, and that is his 50 Soulstone list. And he just plays that and nothing else.
Yeah.
And they all work solid. Together. So
they are also all mercenaries. So again, like the Von Shield box, you can branch out elsewhere from there into other factions and not feel like, you know, you've wasted your investment.
Yeah, very much so. So moving on to in the Outcast faction, things that are a little more complicated, a little more things that we probably wouldn't go into as a beginner. What do we think of there?
There was a couple that sprung to mind here. Leviticus, he's a little bit complicated. He's a kind of a faction of his own. He can hire any undead or any
construct, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem with his crew box is he has a mechanic where he can he dies and gets resummoned. That's his mechanic. But to do this, he needs to have models with a high soulstone cost near his totems. And his box only comes with one model which is of a high enough soulstone cost to do this. So he requires you to invest more money into his box, basically, in order to get him to work properly.
Yeah, and not just that, but it's a very specific style of play that you need to master his mechanic before you will actually see any results. So if you're starting playing, it's probably better to play a slightly more forgiving crew than something like Leviticus, where if you forget to set up your resurrection, it's all going to go horribly wrong very quickly.
I mean, a lot of people sort of know how he works. So if you're picking him up for the first time and they see him across the board, they're going to know to kill your totems and things. So if you don't protect them well enough, which when you're starting out, it's quite likely you'll, you know, slip up and put things in slightly wrong places. Not
hell,
know
I still
that,
do now.
Look, you know, this model might be able to fly over and murder it. Then you're going to get quite annoyed because you're not going to be able to resummon him.
Yeah, and another crew that you mentioned that is not particularly beginner friendly is Hamlin. So why would you say that?
Yeah, the main reason is because when you get him, you don't have enough to build a proper full crew. A lot of his rats and things, they can turn into what are they called, rat kings, which you don't get in the box. You have to get the Brotherhood of the Rat box to complement his crew, and then I think you can play him. So if you're okay with getting two boxes, you can do that.
Yeah, and he's quite a complex master.
He's also, fairly complicated. Yeah,
you're working on summoning lots of things and activation control and other kind of concepts. So it's another master where rather than just kind of getting on with what you want to do, you have to always think about how to get the most out of this this person and not screw it up rather than just carrying on and playing the game.
He's definitely not, you know, as straightforward as, say, the Vix or Von Schill.
Exactly. So let's carry on with our wild internet guesswork of crews and masters that we've not really played much with and see what we think here. So we're going to move into Neverborn, which is one of the controversial factions, I guess.
Do you like having fun? If the answer is no, play Neverborn.
Well, it's more do you like your opponent having fun?
Yeah,
because Neverborn are probably the biggest dream crushers in the game.
Yeah.
It always feels like they got all of the toys, didn't it?
Yeah, they're very if you like tricksy factions, they're a very sort of tricksy faction, I guess. They can do things that aren't other factions can't. They can kind of choose to ignore certain rules, it seems, at times. And
exactly. So just from reading the cards and from the games that we've played against other people playing these masters, these are the ones that we think are probably good if you're just looking to pick up something to start with. So the first one we thought was Lilith, which is the mother of monsters. Despite Lilith having a few tricksy abilities, sort of being able to move things around and create her own terrain, she's actually quite simple because she's very forgiving in that she just sees through all terrain.
Yeah, you can just charge straight through walls and things into people and mince them up. She also has a nice bit of synergy with the models you get in a starter set because they're all Nephilim. Well, the Neverborn ones are, so Nice little combo there.
That's a good point. Lilith can do some really cool stuff with Nephilim and some of the upgrades that she gets and the models in the box, like the Teratots and Barbarous and stuff, will benefit from having other Nephilim nearby. They can grow into the Teratots, especially can grow into different Nephilim. You'd have to pick up some more models for that, but it gives you a route of expansion.
I think she's one of these ones that she's not too hard to begin with, but she has a lot of room for you to sort of expand your knowledge with her and move into other things. She sort of does quite a lot, but...
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, yeah. she can play straight out as just kill you in the face, and then she can also do some really great maneuverable sort of tricks, which is just great for a master.
Yeah, she's got a lot of variety going on there.
And another master that we looked at and thought of as a beginner-friendly master was Jacob Lynch with the Dark Depths box set. And I think this is more because... he comes with a really robust totem slash henchman in the Hungering Darkness. The Illuminated, which come with him, are also quite solid minions that you're going to use in a lot of Neverborn crews.
They're very solid.
Yeah, and he just has a good mechanic. He does a lot of cool stuff, like you keep aces in your hands and you can discard aces and pick them back up and do sort of cool stuff with cards that no other master does.
Do you like drawing cards? Do you like doing things with cards? Get him.
Yeah, exactly, he's like a crazy gambler man. But all of it is not super complex. We do have one Neverborn master that we've identified as a complex one, which is...
The Dreamer.
That small, annoying child.
Yeah, small boy with a... I think he has a little teddy bear type thing with him, and then he can turn into Lord Chompy Bits and murder you. And, it's...
For anyone that's interested in the fluff, Lord Chompy Bits is one of the tyrants of Malifaux called Nightmare. And the story is that the Dreamer was just kind of like doing his normal dreams and stuff like that. And Lord Chompy Bits, the Nightmare tyrant, kind of stumbled into one of his dreams and decided to try and mess with the boy. And the boy was just not scared at all. And so Nightmare tried to leave and the Dreamer wouldn't let him leave. So the child has actually got more power than one of the tyrants in Malifaux. And now Nightmare is kind of following him around, trying to work out what the hell is going on.
Yeah. It's very sort of silly thematic crew. It's very cool.
So, I mean, even though, you know, it sounds amazing, the reason we've not recommended him as a beginner is that he has some very complicated mechanics involving summoning monsters, which kind of wakes him up or puts him back to sleep. And at a certain level, he can turn into Lord Chompy Bits. And you do need to have some additional models to work with it. And another one where you can easily trip yourself up and not be able to play him very well. So... we have a friend who started with the Dreamer.
And
now
he's pretty damn good with him now, but when he started out...
The first few games was
a headache for him.
He did look like he had quite a lot of headache trying to read the card going, what? How does this... What? Oh. But it was good fun watching it. However, a little note that we do have is that the Dreamer is a top-tier master. He's fantastic. Especially in competitive play. So if you are looking for a master like that and you've got some tolerance to stick with it, then he is pretty good.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Also, you know, we don't play this faction. We don't know a lot about it. So you might find someone that knows more. Right, next up, we've got the Ten Thunders.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you like sort of...
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, all that sort of Asian nonsense. That is very much what they are. They're sort of a weird one in that most of their crews are dual faction. They're sort of snuck into various different factions in the lore and sort of got their fingers in all the pies, as it were, and are trying to sort of seize control of Malifaux that way through sort of subterfuge and things.
Yeah, very much so. And all their crews, I think, are quite different.
Yeah, they're all quite different, and they all tend to bring something from their dual faction with them.
Yeah, I mean, one of the bonuses, I think the models in the Ten Thunders faction are incredible. They're some of the best models in the game.
Yeah, they're very solid.
Very, very flavourful. So this is our best guess, considering that I think I know one Ten Thunders player, and that's it.
Yeah, they're not a faction I know an awful lot about.
Yeah, I think Peter plays, and that's it.
Yeah.
Not this Peter, another Peter.
Peter Slynn, isn't it?
Peter Slynn, yeah. So the ones that we have identified as being probably good for a starter is Mei Feng, the Rail Crew, which is dual faction Arcanist.
Yeah. It's very cool. Basically, Mei Feng can jump to scrap markers and constructs. Every model in there counts as a construct, I believe. So you can kind of have her jump around across the board, kick something in the face, jump away again, all that sort of good stuff. The actual models in there are quite solid. There's a little bit of synergy with burning, so you can kind of set things on fire, but it's just a very solid crew.
Yeah, I think movement tricks and positive flips on jewels are a very Ten Thunders thing, and you'll see that as a theme throughout the whole crew. The next box that we have identified as being quite good is the Thunder, which is Misaki as the leader. And I think we picked this one because she's basically like a turbo cruise missile. Yeah. In that she's an assassin.
Yeah. She murders a thing dead, and when you're starting out, it's quite fun, isn't it, to just murder things dead?
Point her at something, and it's probably going to die. And if that thing is dead, then it can't stop you scoring your points, which really is a quite good strategy to start with. Something that we recommended a beginner would not start with is probably Shenlong. And this has nothing to do with the models in the box or the playstyle. It's more just rules soup.
Yeah, like I've played Shenlong against him, and I think I've played him a couple of times now. I still don't have a clue how he works. He gets conditions, he takes conditions off, he does weird. You just kind of go, all right, I know you just do your thing. I don't understand it. It's a lot. Yeah, that's why I don't get it yet. So
yeah, it requires a lot of trust that your opponent knows what they're doing. Because it's honestly, he seems very, very complex. And if you have the patience to sit down and go through it, then I'm sure he's great. But
I think there's an element of forward planning with him, if I remember correctly, because you want to get conditions in one turn and then they can carry over to future turns when you go, all right, now I'm going to get rid of all these conditions to get this thing. And so you sort of have to be able to plan ahead, which when you're new at the game, that's going to be kind of...
Yeah, I mean, the flavour is there in that the conditions kind of relate to different fighting styles. So the idea being that he's using different fighting styles, you know, like crane style and wind style and all that sorts of stuff. So it's very kung fu.
Drunken. That's the best one.
Yeah, yeah. Except from it just is, it's just complicated rules-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that is an overview of the seven factions in Malifaux and some crews that we recommend either starting with or possibly avoiding if you're beginning. And we hope that's helped you out.
And if you're after any more information about any of the factions and the models and so on, there's some useful websites and things for you to check out would be the Pull My Finger Wiki. I found that very useful, and I still do when looking at things to get. The Weird Forums are great as well, very helpful. And I would also recommend the Schemes and Stones podcast. They do master-specific spotlights on different things, and you can learn an awful lot through listening to them.
All right, so thanks everyone for listening. I hope that's helped you out if you are new to Malifaux. If you're not new to Malifaux, then I hope it's been vaguely interesting and you can pass it on to somebody that is. Before we go, we've got time for Pete's Ridiculous Combo of the Month. If you do not know Pete, you soon will. I think he gets a kick out of finding the weirdest and wonderfulest things to do in a game and making bad things happen.
Yeah, I have a habit of looking at cards and going, this seems stupid. What can I do to make it even more stupid? So, Colin, for this month, if I told you for the low, low cost of 10 soul stones, you could get 3 attacks a turn at range 12 that ignore line of sight that do 3, 4, 5 damage, you'd think that was quite good, right?
I'd think that you had a master going on there. What's going on?
I do require a master to make this work, but basically it involves... a voodoo doll and an iron skeeter.
So it involves a voodoo doll. We're talking Zoraida, right?
We're talking Zoraida, yeah. It won't work without her. So basically, the idea is you have the voodoo doll, the iron skeeter, to combo with it. So then what you do is you need to make sure you have the right card in hand, which is... let's have a quick look. It should be a tome, I believe. So the iron skeeter can activate, use hopper board, cheat in... 6 or more of tomes. It will give the voodoo doll fast then and place it next to it. Because the voodoo dolls gain fast, the iron skeeter will now gain fast. And as that is a 0 action, you've now got 3 actions left. So the idea is you equip the hovering airship and you let the pianos drop all over the enemy.
The iron skeeter's got the hovering airship?
The iron skeeter has the hovering airship.
You put the voodoo doll next to an enemy?
No. You keep the voodoo doll next to the iron skeeter. He hides behind a wall with the voodoo doll, picks the voodoo doll up and drops it next to himself again, and just drops pianos all over the enemy.
Because the iron skeeter has a range of 12.
While hiding nicely behind a wall where no one can see him. I mean, it does mean you're not using your voodoo doll for the usual shenanigans, but it's kind of cool.
All right. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So anyone out there that's playing Zoraida and has got the Zip Crew box, that is your challenge for the month. Go try that and let us know how it pans out.
I don't know. It's not going to, you know, break the game, but it's kind of silly and fun. So
it is. So as always, thank you for listening. We are aiming to bring these podcasts out monthly. We have no idea what next month's episode will be about, but if you have any suggestions, then please let us know. You can get hold of me on Twitter at Magic and Models, and we're setting up a Facebook page. So if you just search for Pete and Colin's Malifaux podcast, you should be able to find us. So thanks for joining me again today, Pete.
That's quite all right. Thank you for inviting me over.
All right. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Let's start all over again. I've ruined it.